I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the Friday edition of KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis, your regular hosts, here with you this week. And we've got Chris Watson filling in for Taylor Phelps. All right, guys, today...
Big Chris, if you don't mind.
Big Chris, I'm sorry. we're going to talk... First, we're going to introduce Jordan Davis, get you an intro on who he is, do some rapid fire with him. We know you guys like that section. And then in the second segment of today's show, we're going to grieve my beloved Spurs, who lost to the Heat, as Jordan will very gladly talk about. And we'll cap it off with the Rangers, NHL playoffs, and then we'll talk about Aaron Hernandez, who is... now officially a suspect in the murder trial, in the murder of Odin Lloyd. So we're going to talk first with Jordan Davis. So Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself first, where you're from, what your major is, all that stuff.
My name is Jordan Davis. I go by Mr. ESPN on campus. That's where everybody else knows me as. I'm from East Texas, Texas County, Texas, born and raised. My major is journalism with a minor in radio and television.
Okay.
So, like, you know, what got you interested in doing sports and, you know, those kind of things? Having a nickname of, you know, Mr. ESPN.
I always remember 2000 when I saw the Indiana Pacers go against the Los Angeles Lakers, and I saw how Reggie Miller, like, kind of got me interested in basketball. You know, I'm like, I want to shoot like Reggie Miller. Right. So after that, I just started watching SportsCenter like crazy. You know, it's all nothing else be on TV, so I'd be like, well, I might as well just look at some sports, and I'd just be learning about different sports and statistics and all that stuff, and it just stuck with me.
Right. Well, what's your next step after college?
I really want to get involved with a newspaper, you know, possibly work for a newspaper for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a web show for the school, so I'm really trying to work somewhere where I can do media and journalism. So, you know, do a little shooting, recording, you know, reporting, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. So hopefully Caleb, I forgot his last name.
Slinkard?
Yeah, Slinkard. Yeah, I'm working with him so we can get on at Rockwall Heat, the paper up there.
All right.
And hopefully I can do some media and stuff up there.
But you also wrote for the East Texan, here on campus, at the campus of Texas A&M University
and,
of Commerce.
I have a chance to be the sports editor coming up for the fall. So hopefully I get that. But if not, I'll still write.
Well, good luck in that. Good luck in that.
Appreciate that.
So what's your dream job? You know, you talked about working for the paper, you know, starting out. But, you know, looking forward, you know, I guess like, you know, more past that, like, what's your dream job?
My ultimate dream job is to have my own sports magazine. I want to work for ESPN, I want to work for SportsCenter, but I ultimately want to have my own publishing company.
So what would you call your sports magazine?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I'll probably call it The Real Spiel, just like my TV show. The Real Spiel.
All right. Go ahead and patent that thing already.
Yeah. Well, tell me this. If you had a choice, would you rather write for ESPN the magazine or Sports Illustrated?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I would say I have to go with Sports Illustrated. Okay. Sports Illustrated, classic, man. Like, if you get there, you made it. Mm-hmm. You got to be like, hey, Mom, I made it. I'm writing for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have respect for the magazine, the company. ESPN is nice, but Sports Illustrated goes deeper into the sports
rather than
ESPN.
So you cover a lot of the sports here, you know, on campus. So what do you want to see happen with athletics here on campus for the Lions?
I want to see more, like, school spirit. I know we had, like, struggling seasons with the football program, but, I mean, you got to give it to them. They be trying. And, I mean, not a lot of people see their practices and, like, know the football players or other players, but I like to see more school spirit for athletics because, I mean, if the athletics boring at a school, then the school going to be boring.
Right.
So, I mean, our athletes work really hard, and I would like to see more spirit, like, supporting them.
Right. What do you think we can do as an athletic department to bring in more school spirit?
Well, first of all, win games.
Okay.
First and foremost, win games. Recruit people to win games. win games. This is all we need to do. Is the more times you win, the more fans come out.
Right.
And so, like, if we lose in, like, every year, in and out, you know, expectations are going to be set. Mm-hmm. So we just need to win.
Jordan Davis for AD?
Jordan Davis, AD. You know, Commerce, A. We win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have had the new AD, Ryan Ivey, on the show.
That is true.
And he's been doing some really encouraging stuff. We've seen a lot of the public talks in front of all the different communities.
That's true.
They're doing that Lion Safari thing, which is in Sulphur Springs, I think right now or yesterday. I can't remember. But that's going on. And then they've really upped their external like revenue search, hiring a new assistant director, and Josh Jorgensen, who's also been on this show. Right. So it's been really cool to see what he can do. So I think
you see a new football coach here.
Kobe Cartho has also been on the show.
I had a chance to speak with both of them, and
yeah,
they both on the same path. You know, they say, and I quote, that they think Commerce is a sleeping giant for real. They think that A&M Commerce could really go back to the glory days because we have the talent. We just need the right personnel, to lead them.
I agree. Well, Jordan, we like to do on the show a rapid-fire segment with each of our guests. This is just going to be a one-time thing for you because, you know, you'll be permanent on here. But we wanted to go ahead and do a, you know, non-formal, just see what happens kind of thing. So we're going to get started with a rapid-fire section. All right, so first, what's your favorite sport to watch?
Basketball.
Okay.
Favorite sport to play?
Basketball.
Best vacation you've ever had?
San Antonio.
Okay. If you can grab 5 items from a burning room, not animals or people, what are you grabbing?
Soap, toothpaste, phone, mouthwash, and drawers.
So you want to be really clean then?
Very clean.
All right. Who's the best athlete in the world?
LeBron James.
Okay. Favorite food?
Everything.
Watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
At the stadium.
Rich or lonely or poor and have a lot of friends and family?
Poor, a lot of friends and family.
All right.
Like now.
Best ice cream flavor?
Chocolate chip cookie dough. Gotcha.
Favorite sports team? Cowboys.
Steelers, Chris.
College or NFL football?
College.
Okay. College or NBA basketball?
College until the playoffs.
Okay. You ever think soccer is going to be relevant here in the U.S.?
Yeah, because I think more ethnicities are starting to grow interest in the sport.
Okay.
So beach or the mountains?
Beach, scared of heights.
PlayStation or Xbox?
I used to play Xbox until I caught the rings of death. PlayStation.
Okay.
If you could live anywhere, like, where would you live?
Actually, I want to live in California.
What part?
San Diego. I want to stay in the safe part.
Yeah, I went to San Diego, like, last week.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's very nice.
Yeah.
A lot of water.
Favorite band?
You know, I'm going to go on a branch with this. A lot of people don't know, but I like Incubus.
Okay.
Favorite song?
Favorite song? I'm a lover of all songs, but I really like Andre 3000, She Lives in My Lap.
Oh, that's a good song.
Why do you choose that song?
Because it's Andre 3 Stacks. And it's like a parody on words.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus, you had to watch the movie Idlewild to get what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite movies.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the rapid fire section. Folks, we will be back in just a few moments. Sorry that was a short segment today, but we've got a lot to talk about in the second segment.
Yes, we do.
This is KETR's Locker Room.
I'm David Evans, host of Latin Soul. Join me on Tuesday night for a journey through Latin jazz, bossa nova, flamenco, and much more. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, following Natalie Texan on KETR.
Hi, this is Ari Shapiro from NPR News. You listen to public radio all year round, so why not spread your contribution out the same way? Try your station's monthly sustainer plan. It's a modest amount that gets billed to your credit card every month, so your contribution keeps giving all year. At $10 a month, it's an easy way to secure the future of public radio.
We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. This is KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Big Chris here in the studio. All right, guys, so playoffs. What happened last night?
Total dominance. That's what happened last
total
night.
Total dominance, huh?
Spurs.
Total dominance. Total dominance, even though Tim Duncan missed that game time.
For Tim, man. I really do.
There were so many moments last night that the Spurs just did not play like the Spurs.
Just it was on themselves.
It was so I really thought that San Antonio was going to win that game last night with about 5.5 left in the fourth quarter, and they were just down by 5. I'm sitting watching the game. I'm thinking San Antonio's going to come back and win this game because I mean it's San Antonio. I would not expect Manu Ginobili to turn the ball over 3 times at that point.
Oh God!
Tim Duncan to miss 2 wide open layups.
Yeah, but I honestly got to say, Game 6 was much harder to watch for me than Game 7 was. I mean, Ginobili having 8 turnovers and only having 9 points for that entire game, and then the stupid substitutions that Greg Popovich made on those last 2 rebounds that we could have had, and instead were second shot opportunities.
He made another one last night. Tony Parker was not in the game on the last moments. I was wondering, why is the best point guard in the NBA not on the floor for an NBA championship? That's just
game
me.
7, yeah.
Right. And so it was just one of those moments last night. I was, well, you know, Tuesday night and last night as well, but Tuesday night was kind of hard. It was very, very hard. I didn't expect that to happen. I thought San Antonio was going to win that. And, you know, what is it? Five points in 28 seconds in, you know, in regulation. And then, you know, overtime, you know, Chris Bosh had his huge overtime and LeBron James and Ray Allen, those guys. And it was just a series that, you know, looking back, San Antonio's gonna be like, wow, we could have had our 5th championship. And it was just like, Miami, I'll put it like this, the best team did not win a championship. I'll say it.
I think
the best players won, but the best team did not win the championship.
I'm fair with that. I'm fair with that.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
We still won.
Yeah. I mean, it's close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as my 4th grade teacher used to say.
That is true.
But you mentioned Chris Bosh. He had 0 points
in
that Game 7.
Can I say something about Chris Bosh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Miami Heat, Pat Riley, pays $111 million for Chris Bosh, and he has 7 rebounds and 2 blocks in Game 7 at home. That was the most. I can't even explain it. Like, he missed jumpers. He missed layups, but he managed to get rebounds, and you're 6'11". You got to stay on your tippy toes. You're dunking, and Tim Duncan fried Chris Bosh this whole series. Let's be real. He had 5 fouls. I'm like, okay, he's going to foul out. And at one point, you know, Big Chris, I thought, I'm like, man, Miami's going to lose this game because they couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball. Mario was turning the ball over, just turning around, giving it to Parker and Ginobili, but you know, Ginobili with the turnover, and Duncan, he makes that hook shot 99% of the time.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said he takes that shot 100 times.
100 times.
He's going to make 99
times.
Yeah.
That was at one time.
And he had Shane Battier on him. Shane Battier. 6'8 compared to 7 foot. Like, that's easy.
You made a good point, though, talking about Chris Bosh. You know, he pretty much did not show up.
Disappeared.
He did not show up, except for the end of Game 6, which, don't get me wrong, Miami, they wouldn't have been in the position last night if, you know, Chris Bosh had showed up for Game 6.
Yeah.
But as far as his scoring goes, you're right. He missed jump shots. He missed layups. He could not guard Tim Duncan to save his life. Look at Game 6. You know, Tim Duncan had 25 points in the first half.
First half.
Tim Duncan was on pace to score half 100.
Yep.
You know, so.
And then Greg Popovich put him out in the last minutes of Game 6.
Yep.
Now, Cooper, I know Greg is one of the best coaches ever in the NBA. But what do you have to say about some of the decisions he made late in these games?
You know, I love Greg. I love his sarcastic attitude with the media. I love pretty much everything about him, that he's a wine lover and has his own vineyard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really cool guy. He grew up in and around the Utah area, went to the Air Force. His major, get this, was Soviet studies.
Really?
Yeah, he studied the Soviets.
So he's a real deal killer.
Yeah, he's serious, man. You don't want to mess with him. But he ended up coaching basketball, played basketball at Air Force, and then went on to assistant coach there and coached some other places. Don't want to give you the whole history. But, I mean, I really enjoy the guy. And then last night, I honestly probably could have shot him in the face. there are some times where I'm not a coach by any means, but there's some times that I was just like, Popovich, I mean, subbing Tim Duncan out in the last two Heat possessions of Game 6 in the regular time is not a good idea.
And they've shown you when a big man goes out the game, okay, their eyes go up like, okay, they got Duncan out, let's go to the hole. And they went straight to the hole.
Did they not learn from the Eastern Conference Finals?
Did
they not learn then?
Oh,
you keep the big man, especially when you have the best power forward of all time.
Yes.
I'm saying Tim Duncan is the best power forward of all time.
Without a doubt.
You have LeBron James, really, you know, all last night, he was shooting the lights out last night. Don't get me wrong. He was shooting the lights out. But, you know, the percentage of guys making those shots are not as great as driving to the hole. Mm-hmm. I would take my chances, you know, with LeBron James shooting a 30-foot jumper than him, you know, doing a 6-foot layup or something like that. Mm-hmm. So let's leave Tim Duncan in the middle. He had, what, 3 fouls last night? So it wasn't a foul trouble. He had 3-4 fouls.
Yeah.
And so there was no reason for him to not be on the floor.
The biggest thing that I think really cost the Spurs, though, is having Tiago Splitter out on the floor. I don't think he should have played this entire series, much less especially Game 6 and Game 7.
After Game 2, he should have just been like T-Mac, stayed on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the matchup with Boris Diaw on LeBron James, that was a questionable one, too, in my opinion. They should have kept Kawhi Leonard on him the whole time.
I
thought Boris Diaw did a great job against him, too. You notice LeBron James was always shooting the three when Boris Diaw was out there.
He was.
He never penetrated when Boris Diaw was out there. Now, is Boris Diaw a Kawhi Leonard speedy player that can keep up with LeBron and jump up and block those shots? No. But Boris Diaw's okay. But when Tiago Splitter's in the game, the scoring goes down, the defense goes down, the rebounds go down. It's like you're just giving Miami points.
He's the Chris Bosh of San Antonio.
Yeah, or worse.
Wow. No, he's worse than Chris, because at least Chris can score when he decides to bring his A game. Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. Chris Bosh is an all-star, and Tiago Splitter is a two-year player out of, I think, Italy.
Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. Yeah. He played on the team and got fried, too.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go back and take – I mean, Manu Ginobili, messed up a lot, and I was really frustrated with him a lot of Game 6 and Game 7, but I think the LVP honestly has to go to Tiago Splitter. He's just not a good player in this
game. LVP.
LVP.
The LVP.
If you're going to be a Spurs fan and try to point the finger at one specific player, I think the LVP is Manu. Because Manu was their big three. It was Parker, Duncan, Manu.
Yeah.
Parker and Duncan brought it every game. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Parker hurt the hammy. You know, he didn't use that as an excuse, though, but Duncan showed up. He's 37, and he was getting buckets.
Yeah.
Manu had one good game, and after that, he went right back to where is Ginobili.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if Ginobili would have brought it like he's been brought it, I'll give it to you. Y'all would have won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all would have won it, but I don't know what's going on with Manu. But Leonard is y'all future.
Yeah, I think so, too. I agree completely. Now, I think the Spurs need to get a backup point guard because the two they have are both really young in Nando DiColo and
Joseph.
Yeah.
Corey Joseph.
But
I didn't even know their names.
Yeah.
Because Tony.
And then Ginobili during the finals became the backup point guard, and that's where he had all the turnovers was when he was playing point guard.
He almost had a double-double in points and turnovers.
Mm-hmm. So I think
it's true.
The two things that San Antonio really needs to do is get a better backup point guard and maybe look for another big man, like maybe go after Al Jefferson in free agency. That'd be a
perfect fit for y'all.
Yeah.
Al Jefferson with Tim Duncan, yeah, that would be good for y'all because he fits Popovich's chess match quarter system, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's like a gritty, grimy player. He's not flashy. Mm-mm. He's going to get you rebounds. He's going to defend. He's going to get you points in the paint. Because y'all need help. Tim Duncan can't do it by himself.
That's very true.
And if David Robinson could came out of retirement and gave y'all a couple extra minutes, y'all probably would have won too.
Well, let me say this about the Heat, though. I think if LeBron and Dwayne Wade hadn't complained every time that they didn't get a foul, in quotation marks, I think Heat would have swept the Spurs. I honestly do. I don't think that the Spurs would have ever got momentum if LeBron had just got up, not complained, gone back down, and been playing defense.
The Heat like drama. Every Heat fan knows that. The Heat knows they could beat any team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole essence of the soap opera-like in basketball these days, you know. Right. So
can they, though?
I mean, honestly.
You got to think about it. I mean,
honestly, on a good day, I done seen them destroy Oklahoma City with all them healthy.
Okay, but listen, though, okay, I don't think that they would have swept the series ever.
No,
I think I think if the Spurs and Miami would have played 100 games, I think it would have been split 50-50, to be honest. Because you got to think about it. Before the series started, we were all saying, who's going to win the series? Nobody really knew. Because we knew, I mean, you know, you got LeBron James on one team. You know, you got to hurt Dwayne Wade. You got Chris Bosh, who's, you know, iffy.
Yeah.
But you also have the Spurs, the best team. Like I said, the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They have, you know, the best power forward. They got the best point guard in the NBA. So we were all kind of like, who's going to win this? You know, Miami came off a tough 7-game series.
Spurs swept the Grizzlies.
Yeah, San Antonio swept Memphis. Yeah. And so, you know, coming to, we're all kind of like, okay, who's really gonna win this series? Like, I mean, you really couldn't tell beforehand, and we saw it the whole way out. I mean, it was back and forth the whole time, and all the games were blowouts except for game one, you know, game six and game seven. But you know, the other four games were blowouts.
Yeah, I agree.
And
totally
so,
blowouts.
I don't think the Miami would have, you know, could have swept if they did anything, honestly. And okay. I think this series should have been over in six games if a couple of things would have went the other way. And I'm not even talking about game six, but, you know, I mean, game one, it was kind of, you know, Miami felt it kind of got stolen from them. It was kind of, you know, iffy.
It was a fill-out game.
Yeah, it was a fill-out game, and the fact they went into San Antonio and only won, you know, one of the three games, I really thought it was over coming back to Miami.
Yeah.
Because we all knew that, hey, look, going into San Antonio, you know, you're going to have to win two out of three. And they didn't.
Yeah,
and so
it was kind of
close there. I don't know.
Well, I got three more questions for you guys. First, was this the best NBA playoff series you've ever watched?
No.
What's your best?
The best one I have seen, and I keep referring back to this, was when LeBron was back in Cleveland.
Okay.
And they played against the Boston Celtics, and he finally defeated the Boston Celtics. Right. Now, I take that back. The Detroit Pistons series. LeBron James, 2005, when he literally beat the Pistons in Detroit and scored 38 straight points for the Cavaliers.
Okay, you say the best playoff series or best finals?
Best series, any series.
I'm going to say this is one of the best. I'll put it, if the games were closer, I would say yes, it would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take it even further back. I remember back in 2000 where the Portland Trailblazers played the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a Blazers fan, right?
Right, yeah. I'm born in Portland. But that's the year that, you know, Blazers, they had, you know, Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith, Rasheed Wallace, Brian Grant, Damon Stoudemire. Those guys were there. And that was the first championship that LA won with that, you know, Kobe and Shaq and Derek Fisher, Rick Fox and those guys. But that series went 7 games, and it was a great series.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best series I've ever seen in my life would be 2000 Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Blazers.
Right. I think my favorite series is the 2004-2005 season when the Spurs took Detroit to 7 games and won. I think that, for me, the defensive fundamentalism in that game.
It was a boring series, but it was a good series.
For me, for a Spurs fan, liking the style of basketball that the Spurs play, that was the best series I've ever watched. Because for me, that style of basketball, that's what gets me going. That's what I love watching. I don't care about the flashy or the up-tempo style that the Spurs do.
You used to like the Jazz, didn't you, when Jerry Sloan was the coach?
Yeah, you did.
See, I've always been a Spurs fan, I had to hate the Jazz, but I respected Jerry Sloan. Yeah, I'm a Jerry Sloan fan. I'm not a Jazz fan.
When the two teams played against each other, it was like the quietest NBA game I ever heard.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, George Gervin or something was out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, it was just fundamentals was going
on. That's when they had Robert Horry, too. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. But let's just talk
it
about
it. Was the AARP game.
Let's talk about who was in that series. That was when Rasheed Wallace was still pretty good.
Yeah,
when Ben Wallace was
Ben
good.
Wallace. Real. Chauncey Billups. Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah.
Bruce Bowen was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Was Sean Elliott still there? He retired by then.
I think he retired.
Okay. But yeah, those guys.
Those were two really good teams. I mean,
and that's when the Pistons was like the beast in the East.
Yeah.
Nobody
with no superstars, though, either.
None.
Remember that team? Had no
Ben
superstars.
Wallace, and he wasn't really a superstar.
He won Defensive Player of the Year, but they didn't make any All-Star games or anything like that. Like, you look back on the team now, I don't think any one of those guys would be a Hall of Famer. Chauncey Billups might be the closest one to being a Hall of Famer, and he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Nah.
So
that was probably the most complete team the NBA has probably had in a long time.
In a very long time.
Very true. My other question for you guys is, who wins the 2014 NBA championship? Now, I know it's early, but who you guys got?
Jordan, you go first.
I say, and you can quote me on this.
Okay.
If the Miami Heat gets Greg Oden or any other big man, they will repeat. as 2014 NBA champions.
So Greg Oden won't play the whole season. He's going to break a kneecap.
We don't need him to. Pat, if I know Pat, he's going to get Greg.
Right.
He's going to save him to the playoffs. We got Birdman. We have enough big man to last through the regular season. Playoffs come, Greg Oden's going to be playing. Mm-hmm. And watch us. Because if we get one big man to dominate the paint, and we don't even have score. He don't have score.
He has to stop Roy Hibbert, really.
Yes, just stop Roy Hibbert because right. Indiana is after us.
Mm-hmm.
And more or less, the scariest thing, Derrick Rose.
And Derrick Granger will be back next year.
And Danny Granger will be back along with Paul George, but Derrick Rose is mm-hmm. coming back.
Yeah.
And this man I seen on YouTube is doing dunks between the legs. He is cocking it back and sitting on the rim.
You got to watch New York.
New York is, yeah, but, you know, losing Kidd is going to hurt that team.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You still got to watch Brooklyn. There's a lot of teams.
He's a now coach at Brooklyn, so yeah. Hey, you never know.
Mentioning, what do you guys think of that? Jason Kidd being the
good
the
move.
Coach.
That was okay. A good move.
What do you think?
I just got to see it. I mean, he's one of the best point guards ever to do it.
Yeah.
I guess he'll relate to the players a lot better. Mm-hmm. I think you can watch Darren Williams' game elevate even more.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
But I don't see him being a Phil Jackson or a Pop or anything like that.
Right.
You know, but you know, I think that's a good job for him. He's not too far from the league. He just retired, so
that's true.
You know, he'll be very, very relatable to the players.
Right. Well, let's do this then. Would you have picked him over Lionel Collins or Brian Shaw or any of the other guys that are open right now?
Not over Brian Shaw.
Yeah, okay. I would have hired Brian Shaw Brian Shaw has won multiple championships.
Right.
He played with Kobe. He's played with Shaq.
And he's putting his dues.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing all the dirty work for the longest.
Yeah.
And he played under Phil Jackson, so he knows a lot of basketball. But Lionel Hollins.
Played and coached under Phil Jackson.
Yeah, but Lionel Hollins, Memphis did him wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
He took them to the Western Conference Finals with after the trade after Rudy Gay. I'm like, oh, he's going to get fired. They traded Rudy Gay. And they made the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And it was like they didn't have no star, you know, to really give San Antonio a chance. But. You know, I think he's going to the Clippers.
Yeah, I do too.
I really think he's going to the Clippers.
It depends on, you know, what happens with the whole thing with the Celtics and stuff.
Yeah.
They started talking that stuff up again yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different stuff.
Let's get back on track. So who do you have in the winning the NBA Finals?
2014, a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's so hard to say. I mean, it's hard to go against Miami,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously. I like Miami. I also like Miami. I like Indiana. You know, I'm out of the East.
Huh.
I say Indiana. I mean, they're a team that reminds me of a younger San Antonio.
They really do.
And they're tough.
They are tough. Those are big boys, people.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of the West, if you know Westbrook can be healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, OKC could have been playing in the finals.
I honestly think that the OKC is still the team to beat in the West over the Spurs.
I can see. Wow, who's gonna win it? I don't know. It's something that's gonna happen. The draft still is gonna come up. Some trades gonna be made.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Miami just because of the fact that I think that they'll be okay. The only thing that will stop them, like you said before, is the lack of a presence of a big man down low.
Yep.
And the thing I'm going to watch out for mostly is Dwayne Wade's health.
That's just it.
That's our key.
Well, I'm gonna give you guys this. I say if the Spurs force Monty Ginobili to retire and cut that $19 million off the cap and can pick up Al Jefferson, I love Ginobili, and I think he'd be great doing a reserve role or something, but he's making $19 million. So that's $19 million you can put on Al Jefferson. So
and somebody else, to be honest.
Yeah. So if you cut him or make him retire, whatever, let him go in free agency because he's a free agent this summer, you pick up Al Jefferson, you pick up a good backup point guard, Darren Collison, somebody, veteran minimum, whatever. I think the Spurs could make it back to the NBA Finals. I don't know if they win, but I think they make it back for the West. And I think the East, it's going to be Miami or the Pacers. I think if the Pacers trade Danny Granger or Paul George for a guy that can really, really score and that's a bit bigger size, doesn't have to worry about shooting and making a lot of turnovers, I think the Pacers could beat the Heat.
If Indiana also had them a true point guard. I mean, yeah. Paul George is not a true
point.
I'm sorry, George Hill is, you know, not a true point guard.
Yeah.
So if they got them a true, you know, one, I think they can actually make a run
in
the East.
Because Paul George is a rising superstar.
Right. Well, let's move on to the Rangers because we've done a lot of basketball talk. All right, the Rangers have taken 3 of 4 from the Oakland A's, and they're now just one game behind them for the first place in the AL West. Who do you see finishing first in the AL West, in the division?
A few weeks ago, I already told you the Rangers were going to, you know, make it to the World Series.
World Series? Okay.
I'd say
who's
that.
All in the AL West?
AL West is...
Oakland.
The Rangers, Oakland.
Seattle.
Seattle, LA, Houston. And Houston.
Well, yeah. And LA, but
LA
but,
Angels.
Yeah.
The Angels?
Anaheim.
I honestly think late in the season, Anaheim is going to give the Rangers, like, a competition.
Okay. Yeah.
Pujols, Hamilton, and then you got to think of their pitching staff still good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really do. I'm agree with Chris. You know, I think the Rangers are still going to win it only because they have been there before.
Right.
You know, they win the 2 straight World Series. They know what it takes to win.
Lost them, though.
Yeah, that last one. Yeah, that last one, God, that was probably up there with San Antonio's flu.
Yeah, for me, this is just as painful.
That was painful. Y'all should have lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So you guys both have the Rangers winning the AL West?
I see the Rangers winning the AL West. I think the Angels would be very, very close behind. Mm. But I really do. I just like, you know, like the Rangers, you know, what they can do and things like that. I think they can make
they
it.
They find a way to win.
They do.
Yeah, they find
do.
A way to win. So.
And Ron Washington's a good man.
Yeah, he is.
I think the Rangers are either going to finish first or they're going to finish second and get one of the wild card positions. Right behind either the Angels or Oakland. I think Oakland is surprising everybody again this year.
You don't want Oakland to get home field advantage, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear about their problem that they had last week?
Well, let's talk during this Rangers win of 3 of 4 against the A's. The only A's loss was the one that Yu Darvish, our ace, pitched. Darvish is now 1-5 in his last 6 starts. He's 7-5 overall. Although 2 of those losses actually didn't go against him, so he's 7-3. And he's averaging about 6 1/3 innings each game. He's got a 2.00 ERA, so pretty good stuff so far. And 5 strikeouts per game. Only he's given up 4 runs over his last 6 starts. So why is he 1-5?
He's not getting no offense from his other teammates.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you look at these stats, you know, other pitchers would dream about having these stats.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can pitch so well, but if you don't have nobody slinging the bat your favor, I mean, you're constantly in a position. Every time I watch the Rangers and he's pitching these past his games, I notice that he's pitching from behind. He's having to have pitches his brains out so they can have a chance to bat, but they can't hit the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's like, come on, guys, I'm striking them out, but y'all striking out too. So by the time I do get tired, they hit home runs, we losing. That's on me.
That's true. Chris?
I agree. I totally agree with what Jordan just said. I mean, if you're pitching, you know, you're coming out there to pitch and you're already, you know, let's say you go into, 6 or 7 innings and you've pitched, you know, giving up 1 run and, you know, you're pitching 115 pitches. At that point, you're tired.
Right.
But you've only given up 1 run, and you guys, you know, your teammates have not scored at all. You know, they're up there, and they might have 1 or 2 hits. You know, it's like
team full of Chris Boshes.
All right, guys, like I'm doing my end. You know, I'm only giving up 2 runs. I just need you to get 3 guys across the plate. That's all I need.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna give up 2, you guys get 3 across. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, it's really, really hard to, you know, get those wins if your teammates aren't you know, I guess getting runs. And, and the thing that looks out to me is that the 5 strikeouts per game, it looks like a lot, but at the same time, all outs don't have to be strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting double plays and, you know, things like that and pop flies and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, 10 strikeouts a game or whatever. He has to put up, you know, like Randy Johnson numbers or anything to be a good pitcher.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just want to put that out there.
Well, tonight the Rangers face the Cardinals, as we were talking about the World Series. In St. Louis at 7:15 p.m. So who you got in that game?
Who's pitching?
Holland's pitching for us. I don't know who's pitching for them.
St. Louis.
St. Louis? Okay.
I say the Rangers in 11.
Okay. In 11 innings?
11 innings.
I say just, Rangers lose by 3.
It just sounds good to me.
Okay. I'm gonna take Rangers in regulation, and they win by 1 run.
Wow. 1 run?
Yeah, 1-by-1 run.
You got to think about it. I mean, they're probably going to get about 2-3 runs.
Yeah,
so. You're right.
They're not going to get like 12 runs in this game.
You're right.
All right, well, let's move on to the NHL then. Now, the NBA is really overshadowed this right now, but the NHL series for the Stanley Cup has been ridiculous. Three of the four games have had at least one overtime, including a three-overtime game in Game 1. Now, the series is tied at 2-2. The Blackhawks won the first, the Bruins won the next two, then the Blackhawks won the fourth game. Game 5 is tomorrow at 7 p.m. on NBC. So, who do you guys have winning this series, Blackhawks or Bruins?
I'm going with Chicago.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think about Chicago. They started off the year fast and furious. Yeah. And
25 goals in a row.
Right, right, right. Winning all those games and things like that. And this, who has the home ice? I can't remember. I think I want to say it's Boston.
I think it's Boston. Yeah. Has the home
but,
ice.
But I think Chicago would get it. I think Chicago has better goaltenders. And like I said, they proved it earlier in the season, you know, in the shortened season, and they won all those games. So I feel, I think Chicago would be a good team to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
I think. This series is low-key like a basketball series. Mm-hmm. You have a great offensive team, and you have a great defensive team.
Right.
At the end of the day, I believe defense wins championships. Boston did beat my beloved Penguins.
Okay.
They knocked out Sid the Kid. Mm-hmm. I cried a little bit inside. But Boston just got gritty players. Yeah. Right? They just got nasty, in-your-face, every game you got to see me players. And I think that's what's going to win a championship.
Right. Well, because one of mine and Chris's bosses here is a huge Blackhawks fan, Mark. I think I'm going to have to stick with the Blackhawks this time. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a really close series no matter what's going on. But I think Blackhawks take it in 7. I think it's going to go right to the end. I think it may even be 2-3 overtimes, maybe even a shootout. See what happens. But I don't know that much about hockey. Speaking of that, this is a really big competitive series with two historic teams, Boston and Chicago, have been in it since the beginning. Do you think this helps the NHL? Do you think this like brings a lot of notoriety?
Definitely. Okay. When you have some of the original, what is the original 8 teams?
Yeah.
In hockey, once you have that, and they're doing a competitive series like this, that just come out of a lockout. You know, I hope this series does go 7. You know, just for the sake of the league.
Right.
And I think it does tremendously help it out. I mean, just like any other league, like, you know, in basketball, you know, this series went 7 games, and it brings a lot of spotlight. It brings more money to the league, obviously.
Yeah. One of the highest rated series.
Yeah.
Right.
Surprisingly.
Right. It brings, it brings more money. It brings more attention. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's like, let's say, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics, when they went, 7 games? Or they were 6 games. But when they played, you know, those are the two most, you know, story franchises in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, they played in the finals. You know, it brought a lot of attention. So you're bringing, the original 8 teams to hockey, and they're playing a competitive series. And yeah, it's fantastic for the league. It's like having the Cowboys and the Steelers in the Super Bowl, or you know, something like that. When you have those type of teams that have so much history, it's always a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the final story for today.
This one's
a little bit sad to talk about.
Oh my God.
Aaron Hernandez is a Patriots tight end right up there with Rob Gronkowski, who were both really important to the Patriots over the last few seasons. And there's been some stuff going on with Hernandez. Now, let's go back in time a little bit, talk about 2010 when Aaron Hernandez was being drafted by the Patriots from the Florida Gators. There's some stuff talked about, drug concerns, little stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was enough that some teams dropped him off the draft board completely. Now, the Patriots were like, we're low-key, we're good discipline, and they are. They're really good about teaching players discipline and keeping them in control. So they drafted him, and he went to them. And then this February, Hernandez was sued for shooting at an Alexander Bradley, who's a guy that lives in Connecticut, who claims Hernandez shot in his direction, not shot at him, but just like shot a gun towards him and hit him in the face. Now, I don't know how you don't kill somebody when you shoot him in the face with a gun, but apparently he survived and just lost vision in one eye. And now all this was going on at a Miami strip club. So I don't know why they went all the way down to Miami when they both live in Connecticut, Massachusetts, but whatever.
First of all, why are you getting angry at a strip club anyway?
That's why?
Just, yeah.
You play for the Patriots, play with Tom Brady. Why are you at a strip club, period?
I wonder why you get angry at a strip club. What are you mad about?
Why? Yeah.
With all this stuff that's going around, you're mad?
Yeah.
So that happened, and then now the big thing comes up. Hernandez is a possible suspect in a police investigation of a murder of a Boston man on Monday. Now let's talk about who got murdered. 27-year-old Odin Lloyd, who lived on Faston Street in Boston with his uncle, was killed earlier this week. He was found Monday about a mile from Aaron Hernandez's home in an industrial park, having been shot multiple times. Now, Lloyd was dating Hernandez's girlfriend's sister. That's a little bit of a convoluted sentence. Hernandez basically is dating, I think, Shayana Jenkins. I think that's her name. And the other Jenkins sister was dating Lloyd.
Okay.
So Lloyd Hernandez and two others decided to go party, just have a good time. They went to the Boston to a Boston area bar. And then for some reason, only three people came back to Hernandez's house. So they're like, hey, what's going on? And this, I think this was on Saturday or Sunday. And then, yeah, it was on Sunday because
early Monday morning. When
yeah, because Lloyd's uncle was like, yeah, I haven't seen him since like Sunday morning. And so they went looking for him, did a missing persons and all that. And he was found in that field. Now, one more thing of background. Lloyd was a semi-pro football player and a member of the Boston Bandits, who also play in Boston. He knew a lot of Patriots players, loved the Patriots. Now, all this goes to say, Odin Lloyd and Aaron Hernandez are pretty tight.
Right.
So, what do you guys think happened here?
Well, I heard that Aaron Hernandez is part of actually a Mexican gang.
Okay.
And I think that has some tie into this. But if I'm Aaron Hernandez, I'm sitting there thinking, why did I get myself involved with this?
Mm.
You're one of the 1,200 players to be accepted in the National Football League. Mm.
He just had a daughter.
Just had a blessing. Mm. And now you're into this, and you know Bill is not going to play with this.
Yeah.
If he ends up being a suspect and really has something to do with this, his future in the NFL is pretty much over. Because as you can clearly see with Ocho Cinco, with Chad Johnson, and his situation, NFL is not playing with discipline, you know, discipline actions.
Very true.
You know? So I feel as though if this goes worse for him, that he is going to find himself unemployed because, you know, that's going to make the Patriots look bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to make the whole franchise look bad for drafting you because, you know, coming out of college, they already said, you know, he's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
So.
And even, you know, even beyond the league, you know, things like that, he has legal issues. And we forget I mean, yes, Aaron Hernandez is a celebrity, but this man, Lloyd, has lost his life.
Yep.
You know, so you're dealing with not only, you know, discipline from Roger Goodell and Robert Kraft, but you're also dealing with discipline
from the law.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, he could be looking at, you know, a life sentence here. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he, like, I don't know the evidence or anything, but if he is involved in the Mexican gang, then, you know, it could have been something else. I don't know anything, you know, you don't want to speculate on it.
Right.
But I don't think that an athlete himself would really put himself in that position, especially, Aaron Hernandez, he's not a small guy. He's covered in tattoos. And so he's, you know, and people know what, you know, what his face looks like. So he's pretty much identified.
Like, hey, you're really easy.
Right. Yeah. Especially in the Boston area.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't think that he would necessarily be the guy to do this. But you know, like I said, more importantly, you know, this man has lost his life. And look at, you know, and pray for his family and his loved ones and teammates and, you know, just the ones that are affected by this. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's just a little bit more on this case. Drugs could have been involved. Police haven't ruled it out either way. And then there's been conflicting reports on whether or not a warrant has been issued for Hernandez, who, by the way, could be charged with obstruction of justice for intentionally destroying the surveillance equipment installed around his house and handing his phone over to police, in quotes, in pieces.
See, that's what makes him suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, if you didn't do anything, why did you destroy all this crap?
That, and then you're running. Like, they showed him on SportsCenter. He was running to his car and, you know, driving all fast and stuff. You're acting as if you know what happened, but I feel as though he can't snitch. Because if he snitched, then his family's in trouble. You know, I feel like it's one of those situations.
Yeah. Well, this is all speculation right now. And no matter what happens, it's a really sad situation. But we'll see what happens. And we'll definitely get back. We'll talk more about this when we know more. All right, let's end this day on a happy note. I wanted to tell you that the Cowboys, this happened a little while ago, signed Terrence Williams, I think it was a few days ago. So now the only draft picks they have left are Frederick, the center from Wisconsin, and one other person. I can't remember the other one. But Cowboys are making a lot of headway with the draft picks, so that's good to hear.
I thought you said good news, Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the draft picks that they have.
You didn't agree Tyrann Mathieu. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that maybe on the Facebook page or maybe next week. Anyway, this has been KETR's Locker Room for Friday, June 21st. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Big Chris.
We will see you next week. Oh,